Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, 17 through 31. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these from my youth." And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at him and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." And Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first." When I was going to China for the first time in college, it was a trip where there were a lot of people kind of going, and it was we were raising support because it was a mission trip. I was kind of doing it as a learning experience as well. And so everyone was kind of gathering, all the money was just a total money for the whole trip. So 12 people on the trip, this certain amount of money needed to be raised in order to go. And I went home to explain this to my father, who is practical, is a good word for him. And so I said to him, I just need to raise some money to go on this trip. He's like, "Well, how much money do you need to go?" And I said, I don't know. He's like, "What do you mean you don't know? You know, this is, the wheels were spinning." And he said, "Well, can you email somebody?" And I said, "Oh, I'll email the leader, the student leader," who turned out later to be my wife. And I emailed my wife, future wife to be, and I said, "How much money do I need to raise to go on this trip?" And she said, "You know, just God will provide." And I said, "You don't know my dad, but I need a number. Just give me a number. Just say it, and it will make, you know." I think my dad wanted me more to get out of the house for the summer. But she and I said, "Well, how much do I need?" She wrote back, and she said the same thing. She's like, "God, just put it out there." And God, and I was like, "All right." So I just told my dad a number. I was like, "What do I have to do?" I finished emailing her. I said, "What do I have to do to go on this trip? I want to go to China this summer. What do I have to do?" And that's similar to our story this morning. The story in our passage revolves around a rich young man and his interaction with Jesus. Just imagine the scene. This rich aristocrat is running up to Jesus, and he throws himself at Jesus' feet. And now, what are the disciples thinking? The disciples are like, "Yes! This is the kind of person that we want on our ministry team, right? This guy is well-to-do. He's connected. You know, you can tell by the way he dresses. He's got money. Like, this is the kind of, that finally, the stuff that we're doing is reaching the kind of people that we want." They're probably worried that Jesus is going to say something to drive this guy away, because this is the person. And probably hoping that, like I said, Jesus doesn't scare him. And this person is in. He throws himself down at Jesus' feet, and he begins in the place where most of us would, where he meets somebody famous, and so he starts with flattery. He's buttering him up, and he's out of breath, and he's caught Jesus before he goes. And it'd be like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company in our modern times. He says, "Good rabbi, honored teacher." And this would work, right? This usually works with people. It would work with me if some CEO throws himself down and says, "Good Pastor Malcolm," and say, "I'll hear you out," right? Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to throw him out the door or anything. But it doesn't work on Jesus. Jesus says, don't call me good. You know, like that's God's word. You know, God is good. Don't apply that to me. You know, that's the only title, that person who fits that title. And then they get into it, and the disciples are listening in, and they need to hear this. And he says, you know, this rich young person says, what do I have to do to get eternal life? You know, if you're going to ask Jesus any question, that's a great question to ask. And he says, Jesus says, well, you know, starting with the Ten Commandments, that's a good place in terms of doing stuff that God likes, you know, and so doing what's right. And all the commandments that Jesus said were kind of negative ones. Don't do this. Don't do that. Even the last one, honoring parents, means don't dishonor your parents. And this man says, I've done all those things. Check them off. They're done. I've never actually done any harm. I've been, you know, never committed adultery, never stolen, never done these things since I was little. And Jesus believes him, right? Jesus moves in, but he's smart. He's wise. He knows this guy is almost there. He's on the path, but he's not there. There's something that's holding him back. There's something that's holding him back from getting where he needs to be. And his problem is he has moolah, right? He's got money. Everyone knows he does, maybe by the way he's dressed or the reputation, or Jesus, you know, everyone knows that this person, this guy, this rich, all his name is the rich young ruler. But it's probably not his first name or his last name. That's probably just what you can tell what he's like. So Jesus always knows what to say to help us grow in faith. And in the background, the amazing thing is that Jesus sees him and he loves him. That's the amazing part about this whole thing, that this guy has a good heart and he wants to tread on the right path. Jesus loves him. He loves his sincerity, his attempts, and Jesus wants to love him. And he says, you just lack one thing. And that's the message for us this morning too. Jesus is trying to say, let it go, like Elsa in Frozen. Let it go. Let go of the one thing. Let go of the one thing that's your security. The one thing that you know, taking the place of God in your life. Now, I'm sure we've heard someone, even pastors, probably say this passage. And what do they always say about money, right? Money's evil, right? This is the passage that you would point to and say, let go of money. Money's bad. They usually say that when they want you to give it to a cause, right? So money's not so bad if you want to put it in the right place. And I can't stand here and say money is the pits, you need to let go of it. But money is the most common thing, and I think we've talked about this in Bible study a little bit too at different times. It's the thing that jumps out most easily because it's the thing that can take the place of comfort and security in the way that God can. Money's the easiest thing that we can look at and count on. And Jesus says this amazing thing about the camel and the eye of the needle, right? Isn't that the most confusing biblical passage of all time? Like everything, you know, not that all the other stuff isn't confusing, but when we always hear it in church, right? But it's like the camel through the eye of the needle, you know, like have anybody tried to shove a camel through the eye of a... No, you can't do those kind of things, right? But in Greek, rope and camel are one letter different. Doesn't rope make more sense than camel? Oh, right? Yeah, that was a good oh. I had the same thing. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. So maybe because rope, thread makes sense. So anyway, because the point of wealth, you know, the point of wealth is the opposite of all these other things. It's to get more. And so what we see is this person and all of us, we all have something, usually one thing that's holding us back from really following God. And money was this guy's one thing. We see that when it's confronted with the idea of parting with it. How does he feel? How does he feel about it? He's like, yeah, let's go down to the bank. I'll sell my camels. Let's get rid of the oxen. I'll give away my gold. What does he say? He's sad, right? He walks away. He's downhearted. It's like breakup language. You know, it's like he's sad. His heart hurts. He's disheartened. His energy is gone because he had great possessions. And this was the one thing. It was not, you know, it's his one thing. Otherwise, he would have jumped on the board and said, let's go. Let's go do it. But it was his thing. I think the thing is that this guy kept kind of hoping and expecting when he was talking to Jesus that he would say something that he already knew. He didn't want Jesus to say something that was different, to keep doing the same things. Maybe he thought Jesus would say, you know, to get into eternal life, you have to pray more, or you have to read more Torah, or you have to help more people. Those are the things that he was willing to do, but Jesus doesn't usually ask those kind of things. He rarely says in nautical terms, rudders amidship, which I think means straight ahead. Anybody know any nautical terms? But that's what we're using it for this morning. That means straight ahead, rudders amidship. I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere in a movie. But no, Jesus says, not rudders amidship, not straight ahead. It was any, you know, it was not any of those things that this person was willing and ready to do. It was the hardest thing, and it was the hardest thing for him. He was disheartened. He was sorrowful. Money had become the security and meant a lot to him, and it was painful. It was a painful breakup. He walks away because he didn't want to give it up. Brothers and sisters, as we read this, hear this, it doesn't mean that money is our thing. One person once said to me, you know, I asked them, like, what's the point? You know, what's the meaning of life, or what do we have to do? And they said, one thing. And I was like, well, what's the one thing? Great, I can do that. And he said, that's what you have to figure out. You have to figure out what the one thing is. This one thing will mean the difference between a deep and sustaining faith in God and just a life that's okay. Our job is when God, if he said, you know, that one thing I want you to get rid of, to stop doing, to stop loving like you do, we know when we are close to that thing because we feel the same way that this rich young ruler felt. If he said, we would react like sad, sorrowful, unable to do it. Now, our job this morning is to find that one thing. But what can catch us is, like I said, it doesn't have to be money. That it's what this person had, and this is what they couldn't surrender, but that might not be our thing. What's the one thing that when Jesus would say, you need to surrender, the one thing you have to go, and God says, and God will show us. We just have to ask, and God will show us. And finding this one thing is, there's such a huge margin of grace, because maybe this rich young ruler, some of the scripture or some of the commentaries think that it might be Joseph of Arimathea. Does anybody know who that is? He was the guy who gave Jesus his tomb when he died. That's why Jesus had a fancy tomb to be buried in. So they're like, oh, maybe this rich young ruler later on is Joseph of Arimathea, who gets on board with this whole thing, and he kind of is able to move forward. So there's always a huge margin of grace. The crazy thing, the amazing thing is that this is the kind of person that we talked about that the disciples want around, but it's not in God's kingdom. God, you know, God wants people that want to be on board and want to focus on God. And the thing is, when we think about this, whatever is this one thing for us, and I'm going to do another movie. This is one of my favorite movies. It's a movie called Rad. Anybody, if you've heard of Rad, we can talk about it at Fellowship Hour. I'm hoping that none of you know this movie because it's awful. But it's a movie about BMX biking. You know, in the 80s, riding a BMX was like a big, I don't know, maybe a lot of you know that you had your children that were in the 80s and they loved, or maybe you were in the 80s too, and maybe you liked BMX biking. But this movie is about this kid who grows up in a small town, and he's a really great BMX biker. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but you can tell how excited I am about Rad. It's just called Rad. How could it not be good? And so he grows up in this small town, and he wants to be a professional BMX biker, you know, but come on, coming from a small town, those are big city dreams. But guess what? They build a professional BMX racetrack in his town. Right? And so he gets a chance to live out his dream. You know, they build, and it's called Hell Track, which is not church appropriate, maybe. But that's what it is. And so that's his dream to do that. And I'm getting there. Don't worry. Keep coming with me. You need a little bit of background. So then all these professional BMX bikers come to his hometown. He's going to be racing in the race. I'm not going to tell you how it ends, which you probably know. But he's practicing for the race. And there's one move that he wants to work on and do. And it's one where he has to go up and he has to flip the bike over. Whew. Which is one I tried one time as a kid and it didn't go well. But he has to hit the ramp and he has to rotate over. But what happens is on the landing is all these mattresses, right? Because if you're flipping your bike over, you don't want to land on a ramp without a mattress, right? Because that you do that once and you're done. But then his love interest from the movie is also a female professional and the top female biker, of course. And she says to him, you know, if you have those mattresses there, you're never going to land your jump. And he's like, if I don't do that, I'm going to die. And she says, I'm just telling you that if you try to land this thing and you land on the mattresses, you're not going to be able to land anyway. And he ends up pulling the mattresses off. I'm not going to tell you what happens. But that's the exact same thing with this idea of what's our one thing. Because we think it's the thing that's keeping us safe. We think it's the thing that's the most helpful. Like the mattresses on where that's his protection. That's his, in case it doesn't go well, I'm going to be okay. But that's the same, and so that's what it is for us. This one thing is it's taken that place, and it's actually, once we remove it, once we take it out, we actually can go further or do greater things than we ever thought we could do without it. But it's that switch in mentality that we're thinking. I think this morning, don't worry if this throws us for a loop, because you know the disciples, as you see in the end of this passage, they're thrown for a loop. It throws everybody for a loop. Because it says, you know, what are we supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And Peter, even looking at this guy, this rich young ruler, it's like, he seems to have everything together. He seems to be with it. Who can even be saved? You know, it doesn't make any sense. If this guy who has been keeping all the rules and making all the money and doing all these things that God has blessed him, who can be saved? And Jesus says, a simple answer, he's like, who can make it happen? God. God says, God gives us strength to let it go, gives us the strength to trust. We have to reach out, step out, know that nothing is impossible with God. The answer to who is anyone and everyone who will take that step. So what must we do? This applies not to us and just our walk of faith, but also as a church. What are things that we hold on to that we need to let go, that we might be sorrowful about, but at the same time is our security instead of God? And those are things that we have to ponder on our own. So let us take a pause, like Jesus said, take a breath, count the cost of really following. Make sure we want to even be following this outlaw, this Son of God. So what must we do when God shows us whatever it is? Then saying, God, it's impossible for me to imagine my life without this one thing, but you're God of the impossible. Let me seek you and let it go. Help you, you know, be my all in all. Let us go and figure out what this one thing is and help each other to be able to let it go. Amen. Amen.